This podcast episode is sponsored by Navy Pro Tools. As business owners of Ever Pretty Beauty Studio, we understand the importance of using the highest quality tools and hygiene products.
We instantly fell in love with Navy Pro Tools when we first invested in their cuticle pushers named Ethel and Doris. Their titanium coating gives them their signature gold look, but also helps minimise cross-contamination, and we were blown away by their precision.
Hygiene has always been a top priority in the studio, and using the Navy three-step hygiene process has allowed us to work safely and effectively, giving us full confidence. Navy's hygiene system has been created with the help from Dr. Fenton, an infection prevention and control expert. If you wish to place an order, you can use our code PRETTY10 for 10% discount.
Welcome to the Beauty Edit Podcast, a podcast solely dedicated to the nail and beauty industry.
Today we're going to be joined by Rosie Lionel, the owner of the incredible studio Nails Bab in Birmingham.
Social media is such a huge part of our jobs within the beauty industry now, and we felt it was time to talk about social media etiquette.
Rosie is an incredible nail technician with over 87,000 followers on Instagram. We hope that Rosie will share with us the do's and don'ts when it comes to social media and how we can all use this powerful tool in a respectful manner. Hi, Rosie.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for joining us.
No worries. Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no. Thank you for agreeing. I know you're really, really, really busy at the moment with your new salon.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot going on and I feel like I'm going mental at the minute. But yeah, it'll all be worth it in a couple of weeks when we're all like settled in.
It will. And the podcast will be a good stress relief.
Yes.
Just to take your mind.
I actually thought that earlier. I was like, this will probably just chill me out of it, actually, just chatting to you guys.
Yeah. When are you due to open?
So we're aiming for the 30th of October and I think we'll be able to get it done. I'm actually going to launch the booking system tonight. Yeah, that's been like a whole other challenge and like, oh God, because there's a lot of girls. There's 8 of us in total. So there's quite a lot to manage, obviously, with everyone doing different days and offering different services and stuff. So yeah, there's a lot to do.
It is hard getting it set up. But like once it's set up, it'll make your life so much easier.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully.
Who have you decided to go with for your booking system?
I use Booksy at the minute and
it seems to be really popular, doesn't it?
It is really, really good. I just love it because it's not just like a booking system. It keeps track of like the money side of it and you can enter your products in there. You can enter like every time you make a sale, you just pop it through on there. And yeah, it's like an accounting tool as well, which is great. So my accountant can just log in and see everything from our side. Yeah, it's great. And it texts clients to remind them. They can adjust their appointments themselves. Like it takes so much stress out of it.
Yeah,
it's great.
Because obviously today we are going to be talking about social media etiquette. But even like on social media, I bet do clients constantly message you all the time like, can I change my appointment and do you have anything next week?
Yeah, I do get a lot of, I get loads of messages on Instagram and stuff. But I think, most of my clients will just go on and do it themselves. But people still do. Like I've got like the regulars that work in the same office building as me and they'll just message me for an appointment. Like they wouldn't dare go on Booksy and do you know what I mean? So I do have that side of it as well. But hopefully with the new place, I think that will kind of filter out a lot of it. So,
it's just streamlining everything, isn't it? So when there's 8 of you as well, it's just got to run like clockwork, hasn't it?
I hope so.
All the luck in the world.
Oh, thank you.
Not that you need it at all. But,
oh, thank you.
Sending you lots of love and positivity for the new
thanks,
salon.
Girl.
Well, thank you for joining us, like I've just said. I think we'll probably get started by just asking you to give a quick brief introduction into yourself, your career, just in case any of our listeners don't know who you are, which I very much doubt. but yeah, if you wouldn't mind.
I'm Rosie Nails Bab. I've been I don't know, it's hard. It's one of those questions. It's quite hard to, when you get put on the spot, it's quite hard to talk about, isn't it? But yeah, I'm a nail artist. I've been doing nails for, I started doing nail art when I was about 15 or 16. And then I went into full-time work. I was working in Jewellery Quarter and then I left there to do full-time nails. So I did full-time for like 4 years. And then I went back to doing it part-time and just did it on the side of other jobs. And then yeah, I'm back to full time now. To be honest, it's kind of a bit of a blur because it's just it's always really busy, and I feel very lucky that I've, you know, like I'm always busy with it, which is really good. But yeah, it's I think when I started, I started doing nail art, and that was the main thing I focused on when I first. And I think I was like when I left my full time job when I was about. I think I was 20 or 19. I remember leaving and I wanted to be a nail artist, and that's what I wanted to do. And everyone I used to work with was like, oh, no one's going to want art on their nails. Like, people just want simple, plain things. And yeah, but now it's great because that's all anyone wants. So,
yeah. How long ago was that, Rosie?
So, about 10 years ago that I started doing it professionally. I qualified about 11 years ago, and then 10 years ago I left my full-time job. I was working just around the corner from where the new shop is actually, and yeah, I didn't like my job. I wasn't happy there, and yeah, I wanted to just paint nails all day.
This is like a reoccurring theme that comes up in the podcast a lot with all the guests, is that they've like nearly all of them have actually had a career doing something else, realised it wasn't what they wanted to do, and have turned sort of like, have more gone to their passion in life, which tends to be along the lines of being creative, being arty, and then everyone's ended up being a nail artist or, you know, a beauty professional of some type.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I think everyone kind of starts it off as a thing on the side, and then when they realise how much they love it and, you know, that this is a career, you can make this into a full-time career, and it's, you know, it's an amazing career to have. It's so fun. Yeah. Like, I say this all the time, like, I feel like I've got the best job in the world. I just love it so much. And obviously, yes, it's very stressful and it's a lot of hard work. Like, I think, like with Instagram, you look at it and it just looks like loads of pretty pictures of nails, but actually it's a lot of trial and error, and it took me years to get myself to a point where I was really confident with what I was doing. And yeah, I think it's one of those, it's just finding the confidence. Like, a lot of people do have the full-time job and they're afraid to leave it, and but actually when they do, they realize like, oh, what was I worried about, you know, like what was I panicking about? Like, obviously the solid income is great with a full-time job, but you know, I think it's worth the risk. It's great.
I've never known anybody yet that we've spoke to through the years of doing nails, or anybody who's gone into it through talking to them through the podcast, that have said, oh, it was the biggest mistake I ever made. Nobody ever says that.
And even the people that I do know that have left the profession, none of them have said it were a mistake or a regret. It was more just that their circumstances had changed, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe they were retiring, or maybe they were moving, or things like that. Very rarely is it just because they just don't like the profession anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you started then, Rosie, I think this is probably a good sort of introduction into today's topic. When you started, was Instagram and social media a big thing? When you started?
Not at all. I used to use Tumblr. That's how I found out. I think it was Tumblr that I found out about nail art on. Because I used to go on there and, I saw Instagram didn't exist. And I remember setting up Instagram, and then all of a sudden I was looking at nails, obviously, because that's all I ever used to look at. And there were like a few nail artists that were on Tumblr, and I can't remember exactly who they were. They might have been like... a woman called Brittany Tokyo. And there's a few other, like, probably ones in America or Japan. So there's obviously loads of amazing nail artists in Japan too. And yeah, and then Instagram kind of was just something I set up just because everyone else was getting it. And then I just started posting the nail work I used to do on there. But that was like, I looked at my account because, you know, you can look at how long you've had your account now on Instagram.
Oh, can you? No, yeah. I didn't know. How do you do that?
There's a setting and you can see, I can't remember. It's probably in like edit profile or like settings or something.
Yeah.
But you can see how long you've had it for. And I've had the account for about 10 years now.
Oh my gosh.
It's just mad because I think years ago when I started doing this, it wasn't so much of a thing. It was just like word of mouth and, you know, just showing people seeing it on your nails.
I think when like mum first had like her salon, Facebook was the big first social media platform. And it was never to really communicate with other nail eyes. It was just purely to get clients in your area.
Yeah, exactly.
And I remember we had an Instagram page probably about 7 years ago. We started our first one, not the same ones that we do now because the salon changed name. But we started one and, oh my God, sometimes I see some of the pictures that I used to post on that. Like, I could cringe, I could die.
Like with loads of filters on them and stuff. And
used to use like, a towel rolled up. Mm. And your hands laid on top.
Oh.
Or we even at one point had like almost like a big piece of A3 card.
Yeah.
And it just had our logo printed all over it like 100 times.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but that were like such a thing at the time.
It was.
Yeah.
It were, and it was to stop people from pinching your images. Which we'll come on to and chat about. But there were no such thing as apps to put a watermark on your images or anything like that back then.
We thought we were so clever when, like, we had this printed. We really did. It were like, we were so excited to go pick it up from the printers.
Yeah, feeling really proud of yourself.
And then people used to message us like, oh my God, where did you get your boards made? We were like, well, we'll tell you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember I used to use business cards. I used to put them underneath the nails because I didn't want people to use the pictures, like pretending it was theirs. I can't imagine doing that now.
I know, it's crazy now. Whereas, like now, we don't even put a watermark on anything. And I don't know, I think things change, don't they? And
it's like anything.
Yeah. So I think obviously we'll go into today's episode, which is all about social media etiquette.
Mm.
To you, Rosie, what do you think of when we say that phrase? What does it mean to you?
I guess, I mean, when you said to me about social media etiquette, I was like, what? I don't even know what I'd say.
I think it's actually got a posher name and I think it's like netiquette, it's called something like that. So it's like
etiquette on the net.
I guess I'd say like it's just about kind of how you interact with people and how you come across on social media, I guess, like, you know, being respectful of other people. And I don't know, it's a really hard topic to talk about.
Sorry, it's fine.
But I was thinking, I was like, maybe I'll make notes or come up with something, but actually I don't really know. I think etiquette is just about being polite to people and, you know, like one of the questions was about like tagging people in their work, like inspiration. Say if you do someone's nails as inspiration, like tagging them in it. Like it is just about like creating kind of like a network for yourself, really.
I mean, to me, I think it's almost like it's like some unwritten rules.
Mm.
So, but it's like it's a code of being polite, I think.
Yeah.
And I see it as like I think social media etiquette is like the do's and don'ts of using social media, but still doing like the morally right thing when it comes to using it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think as well, it's all about like if you're just one person on your own and you can be more of like an influencer. If you do nails, like who can I think of? I don't know. You know, like Sophie, Nancy Loves Nails.
Yeah.
Like she's, her brand is her, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, whereas absolutely. I think if you've got a salon, it's a little bit different, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
It's just about knowing your audience and knowing kind of like how you're being perceived, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is quite funny because like, I don't ever think about that, really. I just kind of go on there and, you know, I don't put too much of myself out there. I don't really put many pictures of myself up. Like, I don't do chatty stories. I just kind of use it to promote my business and share my work because,
yeah,
I don't know.
I guess that's your branding though, then, isn't it, Rosie? Like, some people will be very much, they'll like have their face on it, or
yeah,
they'll do these chatty stories, and then that attracts their type of clientele, you know, and yeah, that becomes yeah, their branding.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
We spoke to Tammy sort of briefly about this. Like, we were saying our salon is very quite like relaxed because we don't have loads of staff. We don't have walking clients. You know, I can say to my client, put your hand on that table.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're waving it around.
Yeah.
Whereas Tammy were like, oh, I don't think I could say that to any of ours, you know, because they don't, it's just completely different environment and it's run differently.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm like that with my clients. Like, I tell them if they're moving, I'm like, stop moving, or like, relax your hand or something. But obviously, with social, well, with it growing and with us opening the new salon, like, I know that's probably going to change because obviously we're going to have walk-ins and there's going to be more girls, and that I know that that will change. And actually, when I listened to the podcast with Tammy and she was talking about that, I was like, yeah, that is something I've got to keep in mind. It's hard to kind of, I mean, I don't really have anything like do's and don'ts. I don't really overshare on there. I just kind of put what people I think need to know. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, Instagram especially, I mean, is a really, really good platform for getting your work out there, whether it's showing it to potential clients in your area, whether it's being noticed by an industry magazine or getting your work shared or being noticed by a brand. It is such a good platform. It's a just good all-rounder, I think.
Oh yeah, it's amazing.
But with it comes some negatives, I think.
I completely agree. Like, it is amazing and it's a great platform to use. And if you use it in the right way, you can build, like, you can make really good friends from it. Like, that's what I've done.
Yeah.
I've got, like, loads of good friends from it. So, like, Tammy, for example, or Amy and Priya, you know, Bambi Nails Priya. She's one of my really close friends. And it's an amazing tool for meeting people that do the same thing as you. And it's just so great to have those friends that get it. Do you know what I mean? So, it can be great, but then I know it can have a downside, and it can be very overwhelming. Sometimes I think, like, I'm not the only one, I know this, like, you spend so much time like thinking about what to do on it that it just becomes exhausting and it can put people off. Like, but sometimes it can be good to have a bit of a break from it and then come back.
Yeah, we sometimes go through phases, don't we? And we're like, oh, we're not posting enough and we didn't take enough pictures this week. And like, we just get, it's like by a Friday night, you can feel so deflated because you think, I've worked all week, I've worked flat out and I've got nothing to show for it. But that's generally what happens. If you're really busy, you don't have time to be thinking about your social media.
No.
But then you feel by the weekend, like we feel anyway, like a bit disappointed, you know, and a bit deflated and a bit upset with ourselves because we feel like we've got to keep on top of the ball. But
you
can't do everything. It's like trying to juggle 1,000 balls at one time.
That's it. Yeah. And it is super overwhelming. And I in the week, because whenever I'm at work, it's not my main priority. Like, I just kind of stick on there whatever I think of at the time. Like, and most of the time I'm running back to back. And I don't have time to sit there and think about these elaborate captions. And that's something that hopefully, because when we move to the new salon, I'm cutting down my days, can't talk, cutting down my days, doing actual nails so that I've got more time for the business side, because that's something it does slip a bit. I mean, I do manage to post stuff every day, but I don't plan it. Like, I just kind of throw anything on there.
It's like you need a day for accounting, you need a day for social media, you need a day to do the nails.
Oh yeah, you do.
Just everything, just like even down to like ordering stock and
it's time consuming. Following up.
It is. There's so much to run it, what goes on behind the scenes to what you see on Instagram.
Oh gosh, yeah. Like Instagram's a snippet of it. And I've heard other people say this before, is that Instagram is like just a like a highlight reel, really.
That's a good way of putting it.
It is, and that's all it really is. Is, you know, you, oh sorry, an email come through.
Oh no, you are right.
Did you hear it?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. It is. It's a highlight reel, and you know, I do say this all the time. It's not my main priority, and yes, it's amazing that I've got that platform, and I do. I love it, and I love connecting with people and sharing my work, and it's a great tool to have. But it's, you have to remember, like, it's not your main business. Unless, I don't know, it's really hard. Like, one thing I'm really looking forward to doing is when I've got the salon, is to slowing down on the nails a bit, because I'm not going to take on any new clients. I'm going to cut my days down, so I've just got my regulars in, and really focus on it, because it isn't how I want it to be at the minute. Because it's just kind of, I don't know if it looks like it, but I do feel like it's a bit slapdash, my Instagram. I don't plan it.
No, I don't.
And I put on there whatever I need to put on there at the time. Because you know what it's like. You get hundreds and hundreds of pictures of nails, and I'll just post one that I really like. Or like, say, updates about the salon or booking system. I'll just whack it on my story. But to be fair, over lockdown, because I had that time to actually do my own nails, because that's something I never ever used to do, and come up with new designs and stuff. You know, I managed to actually get good content.
Yeah. I think when you have been given some time, it's so much easier.
It just
makes it so much easier. You enjoy it more, you know, like what you've just said about being able to do your own nails and think of a design, and then be able to have a little bit of a play and execute the design.
Yeah.
It's so hard when you're back to back with clients.
Exactly.
And the next person's in and they're saying to you, which is always a classic, well, what do you want to do on them today? And you're like, just make up your own mind. I know it sounds awful, and people listening it'll resonate with them, or they'll think, oh, Amanda's harsh. But it's like, when you don't, you know, when you're on 10th client and you're like, I'm just drained. Like,
I'm drained. Yeah.
There's nothing left in the imagination bank.
You see, I'm the opposite. I love it when people don't know what they want, because it just lets me do whatever. And I've always got loads of
maybe
ideas.
Maybe you're more creative.
Yeah.
You've been more creative than me.
It's fine when you've, like, if there's sometimes there's something that we know, and I'm like, I'll say to Mum, like, I want to do this because I've got this new stuff. So I'm going to do this on Lauren on Friday. She doesn't know it yet, but that's what she's having.
She doesn't know yet. My clients always say, they're like, I just never know what I'm going to have with you. It's quite funny.
Funny when they come in and they're like, so I think I'm thinking purple, and then they go out with, like, you know, green. They never leave what they actually asked for.
Yeah. One of my clients said last week, she said, I said, oh, are they all right for you? So she said, oh yeah, they're lovely, thank you. Gets her car keys out of her bag and whatever else. And then she went, oh, I'm actually leaving with something I've asked for today.
It's so true.
She was like, And I never leave with what I ask for.
It's funny. One of my clients, she said to me, she's one of, like, my diehard regular, I call her. She came in. She was like, one day, Rosie, I'm going to get my own way. She was like, you're not going to tell me what I'm having. I'm going to decide.
Were you like, yeah.
But she does have good ideas. But it's because I've always got loads of ideas. I show them her and we just change our mind.
So going back to social media and how we can behave well, good, not be naughty on social media, what do you think is good practice? What should we do?
Or not do,
basically,
I think definitely speak to other nail artists or, you know, people in your profession. Like, try and build yourself a bit of a network, because it's really helpful. Because sometimes, especially like if you're working alone, it can feel quite isolating. So definitely use it to your advantage and try not to look at other people as like competition. It's more of a community really than a competition.
Yeah.
And also just, you know, things like if you, I think one of the things you said in the questions, like using other people's pictures, don't steal someone's picture of some nails. I know that, you know, Harriet, I know that her pictures get used on people's profiles all the time, like advertising their services, but it's not, it's Harriet's work. Like, yeah, just using your own images and coming up with, trying to be original. I think that's quite important, because you don't want to just blend in. You want to have your own thing going on, and, you know, and like another thing that I know you mentioned is like tagging people. If you're inspired by their work, say if you recreate a set, tag them in it. Like, it will make their day. It'll make them feel really good. You know, obviously it's not the end of the world if you don't get tagged in it. It's just one of those. It's social media. I think sometimes you forget, you pop a picture on Instagram. Sorry, you can probably hear my dog. You pop a picture on Instagram, and I think you forget like how many people can see that image, and someone's bound to use it as inspiration or get ideas from it. And yeah, I think it's really cool if you can do that, like inspire someone.
Yeah. I wrote down myself for this conversation, number one was be original.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so difficult, isn't it, to come up with something original when most nail designs or ideas are often from trends.
Yeah.
You know, whatever's on the catwalk or whatever's selling in Zara, you know, whatever prints are around at the time, we all take influence from that.
Yeah, from somewhere.
From trends. So if there's a trend going along somewhere, it's going to sort of then go back to nails.
Yeah.
So there is that thing that somebody's going to recreate a design that somebody else is going to recreate.
Well, or even like two people are going to possibly think, right, like, I don't know, camel colours are really like in fashion at the moment, so I'm going to do a set of nails and I'm going to use camel colours. Like, you can't, some ideas cannot be claimed as your own,
of course,
can they? They come from inspiration from other things.
Of course. But,
and it's bound to happen that two people are going to have the same idea.
Yeah.
But I think there's certain times and certain instances where it's very clear that even maybe the method of doing them nails was created by somebody.
Yeah.
And that's what's been not credited for. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like, look at, like, I don't know, remember when marble nails blew up and everyone wanted marble nails and everyone was doing them? Like, we don't know who came up with that idea. It's a trend. There's a big difference between, you know, painting a design that's a trend and making it your own, and or like completely copying someone's design. It's a really hard one. I have kind of two feelings about this subject. Like, it can be really kind of deflating when you see that someone's copied something like for like. Like, a lot of the designs I do, they're quite specific, and I sit and I draw them in front of the client. And it can be deflating when you see that, and they've not credited you. If they credit you, great. It's so flattering seeing that people are inspired by your work, and I think it's the biggest compliment. But it can be quite deflating when they don't. But, you know, it's not the end of the world. Like, pictures on social media, like, you don't know, their client can take in a screenshot of your work and, you know, they can crop the picture or, So part of me thinks, like, oh, yeah, it can be a bit disheartening. But on the other hand, it's just the internet, isn't it? It's not everything. But, yeah, and on the other hand, it's like you were saying about trends. You can't claim a trend, really.
No.
No, definitely not.
Because trends come back around as well. Like,
the whole, they do.
Yeah, like tortoiseshell nails, they were big years ago. I remember when they were big. And pick-a-mix nails, like, they were big years and years ago as well. And, like, French, look at how French has come back.
Yeah, It's just the same with like fashion, do you know?
Yeah, it's like leopard print, like it always comes back round again.
It's
in
always
clothes.
Been in fashion in my wardrobe.
Yeah, it does.
If you keep it in your wardrobe long enough, you can probably rewear it in like 10 years' time.
Yeah, definitely.
Mum's favourite trend is double denim.
Double denim, I love that.
We always take the mick out of it. I'm like, are you double denim-ing again?
No, it's hey, look.
Not
like
wrong
it.
With it. It'll come back round. Yeah, so like the be original and crediting. If your client's shown you a picture or you've seen it because it's popped up on your newsfeed, we always try and credit, always.
Yeah.
Just to say thank you, you've inspired us.
Yeah,
you know?
And yeah, it's one of those, like, I don't know why you wouldn't, because for me, I think, like, if I see someone's created my design, I love it. Like, it makes my heart feel full. It's weird. Mm-hmm. And I think to do that and make someone's day, like, it's a nice thing to do. And obviously, you know, you've not come up with the idea. And say if you're copying something like for like, then yeah, I would. I'd always credit. And I think people look at nail art and they're like, oh, it's just nails and it's just a design and whatever. But it's not. It's like, it's your intellectual property, isn't it? Like, if you've come up with something that you've drawn, and you've really thought about, and you've not taken inspiration from another set, like that's come from your brain. it's just a nice thing to do, is just crediting people. And it's like tattoo artists, you know, they're not going to do exact copies and not credit another artist. Like, it just wouldn't happen.
You wouldn't see two Mona Lisas, would you?
No, exactly. And it's a great thing. It's so nice seeing people inspired by work. It's honestly, I think it's one of my favorite things about doing this is seeing other artists' interpretation of your designs. Like, I think it's just a really cool thing that we can do. And yeah, it can be a struggle as well to come up with your own kind of fresh ideas all the time. So
yeah, that's why I loved Liana Starbuck. She did polished up Pinterest before COVID hit.
Yeah.
And it was like an image, and you all had to create a set of nails from the image. And one of my clients, she's really easygoing, and she's like, I'll have whatever. So every time a new one came round, we would try and do it if it sat in with her appointment.
Yeah,
and
brilliant.
Like, it was so fun on the day when everyone revealed the pictures of like how you're all interpreted. It's slightly different.
Has that stopped now, then?
I think
polished
it has.
Pinterest.
Yeah,
oh, I think it has.
But yeah, that was so fun.
Yeah, it was. It was, and it was a good way to see how you all sort of had the same picture, but you all interpreted it differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Like that, I think that's something that's really cool as well. Like, you can see other people's interpretation of like a piece of art or a piece of clothing or, you know, it's I love seeing how other people take ideas on. It's great. Like, it's happened before where like a friend of mine say like, ow, sorry, Billy's just bit me. yeah, he keeps biting me. But yeah, you know, there's Pinterest, and a lot of nail artists will be looking at Pinterest, and we're bound to come across the same images. So it's interesting to see how people interpret things in a different way. But yeah, I loved that Liana did. Really good idea.
I did. Maybe we all should badger her to start it again.
Yeah, we should actually. I might message her after this. It was so good. I loved that.
I think, going back to the crediting, I'm just trying to think, why wouldn't somebody credit you?
I believe years and years ago, because like I said, Facebook was such a big thing in comparison to Instagram. So the chances are you didn't see as wide of an audience as what you do now. So you might have been taking inspiration from the salon only $5 up. So I personally believe that's why years and years and years ago, people were more wary of who they tagged. I remember years ago someone took our images of salon nearby, and I was so offended.
Yeah,
I can't remember that.
Yeah, it was one of my acrylic pictures from years ago, and they'd taken like my image and said acrylic nails, you know, discounted however much this week. And I thought,
That's my work. Yeah.
Digging there your nails, and actually I'm $5 down doing them at full price. Like, yeah. How is that fair? But I think that was worse than what it is now.
Do you think that's where it's maybe stemmed from? Like, when people felt they were more in competition with people.
I think now it's definitely a community now, I think.
I think definitely it has changed as Instagram. There's so much support and encouragement, and it's such a lovely place. And I think that's all been brought together since lockdown.
Exactly, yeah. And the thing is, someone can copy your design. Like, they can copy what you've done, or they can be inspired by you, but you're still you. Like, you've got your own style, and, you know, I don't think it's anything that's worth ruining your day for. It's a nice thing. It's a compliment. I always try and look at it. Obviously you prefer to be tagged in something, but if you're not, like, it's not the end of the world. Just drop them a message. I've seen it before, and genuinely people forget to, and that happens.
I think it doesn't just stop with images though. Things like this, I think it's things like, I mean I've known it where people have taken your price lists.
Oh really?
And copied them word perfect.
Oh my god.
And just lots of different things.
Brand names,
yeah. I've seen that quite a lot where people's names have been taken, which, again, it's so easy, isn't it? Because,
well, there's certain names, like anything relating to nails will come up again. There'll be, you know, like where we live, I can name like the salons that are hairdressers. So it's easily done when it relates to what you're doing.
Yeah.
But there's certain names, like Rosie, yours is really original. Do you know, if another nails bab like popped up,
yeah,
I'd be like, hold on. Hold on, where did you get that idea
from? To be honest, you'd think if another one did pop up, we'd think it was you or another, you know, or somebody who worked with you.
Yeah.
Or you would think that.
Yeah.
But you would probably be upset by that.
I've trademarked it now. Well, I'm in the process of trademarking it, because that is one of those things I'd never really thought about that. And then my accountant was like, have you trademarked? I was like, no. that didn't even cross my mind, but actually, yeah, it's a good idea. But mine's like, it's kind of Birmingham focused anyway. The word bab is like a Brummy thing, so I'd be surprised if another nails bab popped up somewhere other than Birmingham. Because people still don't get it, like they asked me. But it is hard. Like, years ago, I used to be called Nails by Rosie, and there's obviously hundreds of Nails by Rosies.
Yeah.
There's actually, it's so funny because my username on Instagram used to be Nails by Rosie, like all one word. And now there is a Nails by Rosie, but she's actually down the road in Solihull. Like, she's really close. But she's lovely as well. Like, and it's just, yeah, I think social media is, it can be, people sometimes, I think years ago, people did look at things as more competition. But now I don't really think there is any of that.
No, there's enough clients, I think, to go around.
Oh gosh, yeah. there's clients for everyone.
I once saw something quite recently, totally different. It was about waxing, and basically somebody had opened up another waxing studio very close to somebody else who had a waxing studio, and somebody had said, oh, you know, are you concerned? And she said, no, not at all. I've been doing it for X amount of years and everybody's got a bum.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, how many people is there, you know, that have hands?
Exactly. It doesn't matter.
Or feet or eyebrows, or there's enough for everybody. So if anybody has got a bit of an underlying reason why they didn't tag, because they don't want their
people going there,
to their followers or going to their salon, then I think that's not fair.
The thing is with that, like, you can't really control it. If people want to go somewhere else, they will. Like, I don't think it's worth getting too caught up about as well, because for every client you lose, you gain another.
Yeah,
that's the way I try and look at it. So
yeah, you do.
Yeah,
and talking about gaining and losing, can somebody explain to me the following? Followers.
Followers.
Do you know when I see this all the time on Facebook, and I'm not really talking about us and our account as such for this, but I see it so many times. People say, oh, follow Friday. And we always try to take part in a follow Friday and tag people. But like these follow posts, and it's like, there's like 1,000 people in it that have all posted links.
The idea
is that you follow them and they follow you.
But then
I've seen people then say the following week, well, I followed everybody and everybody followed me, and then a few days later they all unfollowed me. And I'm like, I just don't understand it. Is it just to get numbers, your numbers up, to make you look?
I think the problem with that is it's not really genuine, is it? Like, you're just following people for the sake of it. And, you know, do you like the kind of work they're producing? Is that something you want to see? Like, just doing a follow loop. I've had loads of messages before with follow loops, and I think it's a bit kind of pointless, because that's not what... I'd rather build, like, genuine connections with people, I guess, rather than...
Yeah, an organic following.
Yeah, I don't think there's any point in doing things like that. Yeah, I wouldn't get involved in those loops.
No, just because, we don't, do no. we?
No.
And people message us saying, you know, there's a list of 20 people and, you know, add yourself to the bottom, but then can you follow them all? And I just said to Shelby, like, we follow people whose work we like,
who's,
we'd love to fill up his feed because we like seeing, you know, whether it's the story of the dog or, I don't know, you know, like the renovation of the home or... Mm. You just follow people because you like what content they're putting out there. But the reason I brought up the follow and unfollow thing is because a lot of people are then getting really upset that they've played the game right, but then other people haven't.
But then this goes back to what you said, Rosie, like you can't control what other people do on social media.
So
I would say, like, you know,
don't take part.
If you're worried about people not playing the game how you're gonna, and be fair, then why play at all? Do you know? I think going back to it being, it is supposed to be organic. Instagram is supposed to be, you know, about putting things on there, you
exactly,
know, that are real life, that, you know,
people
mean a lot to you.
And I just don't think it's the thing is, if you're the type of person that's going to get upset if someone doesn't follow you back, like, and people are, like, you know, especially if you're doing these loops, you know, everyone's well within their right to follow and unfollow, you know. You can't control people following someone, like, you can't make people follow you. I think it's best to focus on the followers that you've got and, you know, engage with people, and I think that's how you grow your Instagram. Engaging with people and posting content that's interesting and a bit different, and original content as well.
I think in the months over lockdown, we haven't got a massive following, like, at all. But in lockdown, I think we gained like another 3,000 since like March, which is a lot for us. And that I think purely were because we had time.
Sorry.
Hello.
I'm just going to pop him out one sec. Oh, he's an absolute nightmare. It's just because I've just got home and he's just hyper. He wants to see me. There you go. Right. Yeah. Sorry. What were you saying?
No, you're all right. So like in lockdown, we, I think, got about another 3,000 followers. And I genuinely believe it's because we actually had time to speak to people.
Yeah, it is. And I, like I said before, I don't think it's worth stressing about getting new followers and losing people. Like, that's going to happen with any account. But just talk to the ones you've got, because you might make really good friends from it, you know. Focus on what you've got.
I think that's where all this pressure has sort of like come from, though, isn't it? It's that number. I think that is where a lot of it stems from, is like, oh, well, you know, they've got more than me, and, you know, they're gaining more than me, and they're getting more shares than me and more likes than me. And it's awful. It's an awful feeling when, you know, you think, oh my gosh, you know, what are we doing wrong? Or, you know, why aren't we doing as well as them? But I think we always say to ourselves, like, this doesn't equate to bums on seat and clients that are paying and money in the bank. And that's our main priority.
Exactly. And, you know, if your Instagram got taken away, like, I know there's been quite a few people who've lost their Instagram recently. Like,
yeah,
you've got to focus on your clients. And yes, it is an amazing tool to have. Followers don't equal money in the bank, unfortunately.
It must be hard though to get your account just taken away when you, because yeah, it does take so much, doesn't it, to build it, and
exactly,
you know, all that hard work that's gone into these people's accounts, and I just feel so sorry for them.
It is, it's horrible, because I think who was it, I can't remember her name now, I think it's Alice, she got hers taken off her. And but you know what was, what I found amazing with that was so many people were sharing her page. She managed to get it back though, didn't she?
I know. It's happened to somebody else as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, Megan Ann Beauty, she's a bioculture ambassador. She had hers taken down and people shared that and it never came back. Or it hasn't yet.
Has it
so
not?
No. So she's starting afresh. I think she'd hit 14,000. So it's a nice, you know, a nice number to have.
Nice, juicy.
Yeah.
But it's all the, I think it's all the hard work that's gone into
it. It is, you know? Yeah. It is hard work. Like, social media is another job. It's another job in itself. And it would be awful to have it taken away. It's horrible.
Yeah. And it's a great tool to, like, look back on. You know, you can see how you've improved. It's like almost like all of your intellectual property is stored in that one place.
Yeah,
like, if we lost our account, we don't have the pictures on backup anywhere.
No.
Because they're on his Facebook page, I think that's...
Yeah, but, you know, they're not in my camera roll anymore because I run out of storage and I have to delete the hundreds of the one set.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, it is. It's like a memory bank, really, isn't it? Like, you can see your progress and see what you were doing, I don't know, a few years ago. Like, there's a cool little tool on Instagram that it's like you can see what you did, like, last year or the year before or whatever. It's like a memories thing.
Yeah, is it like a year ago today or something?
I love looking at that because it's things you forget about.
It is. I don't normally look at that, but I did this morning, which is weird. Mm. It was just a set of dark nails.
Sorry, what were you saying?
The other thing that I've not necessarily seen this myself on social media. I think it's maybe more Facebook. But these, like, these groups that have popped up called nail shaming groups.
Oh my gosh,
like
that. Yeah.
And I just think, one, who would even create that group to just
to slag people's nails off?
People down, you know. Like I say to Shelby, we all started, you know, whose first set of nails were amazing?
No one's, you know? Everyone's,
you know, where's
somewhere.
The support or the encouragement? Who would take great pleasure out of posting a picture of somebody's work and saying these are crap? Do you know? Yeah. I just think, I don't know. I just think it's just so nasty.
It is. It's nasty. But then the internet can be a bit of a nasty place. You know, people creating these groups, I think what you've got to think about is it's a reflection of them, not the people, not the pictures of the nail tech's work. Like, if you've got the time of day to do something like that, then maybe look at what you're doing, because, you know, I don't think putting other people, creating a Facebook group just to put people down, that seems like madness to me. Like, if you've got nothing else to do than to try and, you know, slag off other people's work, it's just horrible, isn't it?
Yeah. I just think them, you know, if you were to see a set of your nails or somebody you knew, I'd be heartbroken, me. I just think that's just not being kind.
No, it's just being nasty.
It is. But on a lighter note, I'm gonna share this on the podcast. There's a Facebook group where we live. I don't know if you've ever seen it, Shelby, and it's called something like Terrible Parking in Yorkshire. Have you seen it?
No.
I can't say the person, but somebody I know, her car was posted on there, and as soon as I saw it, I thought, oh my god, that's hilarious.
Oh my god, I'd definitely be on that group 100%.
I would. My parking is shocking, but I think that's just a fun, it's not meant to be
nasty. That's just laughing. Isn't it,
we're just laughing, and you know, like, if I were to be on there, I'd think thoroughly deserved, Amanda.
Yeah. Oh god, 100%. I wouldn't get offended by that. I'd just think it was funny, but having your nails, when especially when you know, people really enjoy doing it and they put so much effort into it, like, you know, practicing designs and buying new equipment, and for them to then get posted on like a shaming group, that's just horrible. Why would you do that? It's just mean.
The one thing I don't understand as well is that obviously for these groups to keep running, to keep content, other people have got to be posting, you know, other people's work.
Yeah.
So if everybody just did the right thing and just didn't post other people's work, the group, whoever created that group, would not have a group left to run. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
This is a combination of a lot of people coming together, not just one or two or, you know, a small amount. This is a lot of people that are happy to take part in this activity.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where I feel like, is there really that many people out there that are that nasty to join in? It just don't make sense.
Yeah, it's not nice. It just don't be horrible online. Just be nice to people.
I think, like, we're big believers in, like, karma and, you know, everything comes back round to bite
the
you
on
the law
of attraction, definitely. Yeah,
100%.
I just wouldn't dare do it, even if it would for that purely that reason alone, in that someone would just do it back to me. Do you know?
Yeah, it's just unnecessary, isn't it? It's just mean.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Yeah. It's just horrible. And like you said, everyone starts somewhere. Like, I look at pictures of nails I did years ago and I'm like, oh my God, like, they're awful and they're just like bumpy and horrible. And but you need to go through that stage. No one's amazing as soon as they start. And why would you want to put other people down for that?
No, yeah. And even if you haven't just started, I mean, I can look at mine from like last week and, you know, I'll admit not every picture that I take goes on social media because I'm not happy
not
with
all.
Every set.
No, of course.
But I can look at ones probably from last week and be like, no, not happy with them. But I know what I've done wrong, you know, and I can then work on that in future. I don't always need somebody else to say it about me behind my back to learn. That's not a good way of learning.
I mean, I did read something quite recently and it was talking about Instagram and people that post on Instagram, and it was a nail tech related conversation, and basically it was saying, why do people post the best pictures? And I thought, well, that's just your portfolio. You wouldn't post your worst pictures where your client's been eating a skin. Do you know?
Yeah.
I say to my clients, that ain't making Instagram today, ain't that? Do you know?
Yeah.
But there were nail techs were being, what can I say?
A little bit nasty.
Slagged off, basically, for putting
for not posting,
the nicest work with the best lighting with no photoshopping. Like, but people were saying, oh, it's photoshopped, it's this, it's that, it's, and I'm thinking, for it in, it's just really good work. So
yeah, exactly.
There's a flip side as well. There's like, people are posting really good professional images, you know, that look outstanding, and they should be praised for it as well, and not
torn down because of it.
Yeah, not like, oh, well, they've photoshopped it and why does it look so good and it's all edited.
Also, why, if you're looking at something and you think that, like, just try not to, if you think it's photoshopped, keep it to yourself. Like, don't, you know, don't go on, like you were saying, with the groups. Just, and if even, it doesn't really matter, does it? You know, it's a picture at the end of the day. Like, it's,
yeah.
And some people, they do think things are photoshopped if they're good. Like, if you look at, like, some people's pictures, they do look photoshopped because the lighting and everything. But if you've got an iPhone X Pro or whatever, and you've got the right lighting, your pictures can look amazing.
They do.
They
absolutely do.
Also, like, I just don't know why it would bother. It would never cross. If I looked at a picture and thought, oh, that's photoshopped, I wouldn't feel compelled to even write on it. Like, oh, that, I think that's photoshopped. Just,
like,
just
that's
move
as
on.
Far
like,
as
it
the
doesn't,
far,
yeah.
As the goes.
Yeah, just, you know, and you can't really tell if, I don't think you can really tell if something's photoshopped or not. And yeah, people do post, what were you saying about, you know, like the highlights, people only post like the best sets of nails. But they do. A lot of people do. I don't post every set of nails that I do. I try and post the stuff that's a bit different. Like, obviously, I do hand, like, 5 or 6 sets of nails a day. They're not all going to make it to Instagram, because then I'd be posting every hour of the day. Like, it, you know, you can't. I just tend to, what I tend to do is I favourite a load of pictures, and when I'm looking for something to post, I just scroll on it and think, oh, I like that, I'll post that. You know, if people want to post their best work, then good for them.
I agree.
And I think when you are doing, you know, however many clients a week, a lot, you know, you would pick and choose, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe it just seems really obvious to me, maybe, that it's like going for a job interview, and if you've ever been like for a beauty, when I've sometimes been for ones and they've said, can you bring like a portfolio of your work? And this was back really before Instagram existed. So you would print them off and take them with you.
Yeah.
And like you wouldn't take the rubbish ones, you'd only take the best ones.
Because of course.
I'm trying to get a new job, or I'm trying to attract new clients, or whatever it is that I'm on social media for. Yeah. So I'm not going to put the bad ones on there.
No, of course. You know, what I try and do, I just try and post stuff that's different to what I've done before, or something I've come up with, like just off the top of my head, or something that's original. I try and post that stuff rather than, you know, your one colours, because yes, I do one colours, and, you know, a lot of what I do is nail art, but you do still have that side where you are doing the one colours, you're doing the plainer sets. Like, I'm not going to post everything, because I don't know. I just feel like my brand is more about the designs and the creativity rather than your one colours. Because I don't know, as much as I love a one colour manicure, like that, I love plain nails, and I love doing them as well. I love just doing like a plain set of nails, but they're not necessarily going to work on my Instagram. Like, I think last time I posted. Sorry, what were you saying?
It's not like your branding, is it?
No.
And what makes your branding is you.
Yeah.
Do you know what you like? It's like Dry-By, our episode with Dry-By.
Their nails
are so iconic, and you can notice them straight away.
You can always tell when it's a Dry-By set, always.
Yeah, and you can with yours, Rosie.
Oh, thank you.
Because it comes from the person.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's, no matter whether people take your images, copy your designs, at the end of the day, you are you.
Exactly.
And nobody can imitate that.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, I think, what was I going to say? Sorry.
Sorry, that's because I butted in.
No. The last time I posted, I think this is what Dry-By said as well, when they post like, you know, like crazy nail art, it doesn't get as good traction as the more simpler stuff, which what they're known for. I think the last time I posted a plain set of nails, it only got like a few hundred likes. Like, people are following you for what you create and your individuality, I guess. So just carry on doing you and putting the stuff out there that you're proud of.
If anyone is ever feeling upset by maybe the actions of somebody else on social media, what would your advice be?
I mean, it depends, really. It's really hard to do, and I know there are people that have struggled with this. I mean, I'm quite matter of fact. I don't get too upset about anything. I just, you know, at the minute, like, say if someone writes something horrible about like my client's nails or whatever, or I've had people before say, oh, horrible sausage fingers or something about client. Yeah. But I just delete it or comment back and just be like, don't be so mean, and then just kind of try not to let it affect you and just move on. Like, or block them. Just block them. I don't think, yes, it's kind of hard to say this because I know that people do struggle with it, but don't let it ruin your day. There's always going to be people out there that aren't, you know, supportive, or they don't like what you're doing, or they've got opinions. Just let them be annoyed at something. Mm-hmm. Like, if a set of nails that you've posted triggers someone enough to make them write something horrible, or, you know, that's down to them. That's a reflection of them, not you.
Yeah.
And that's what I try and remember. Like, if I ever get anything horrible written on a picture, I do just try and think, well, you've got the time of day to do that, and I haven't got the time of day to, you know, to do anything. So it's a reflection on them. Yeah, just don't be mean to people on the internet. It's just stupid.
Yeah, I think from today's podcast, I think hopefully the message is just be a good egg.
Yeah. Just be polite. And it's a really hard thing, because I don't really overthink what I do on social media. I just be nice to people and be respectful of other people's work, and just talk to people, because I think this can be quite an isolating thing if you work on your own, and you can kind of feel like, yeah, like isolated. So just try and talk to other people, and yeah, just be respectful of others.
Yes,
yeah. I think that's all there is to it.
Social media is just like a whole new sort of newish part of being a nail technician now. You know, nearly all nail technicians, even like lash technicians, brow technicians, I know we're talking about nails a lot because that's predominantly what the three of us do, but, you know, even for anybody listening, if it's brows or lashes, you know, most people now are taking pictures of their work to advertise on social media.
Yeah.
And I just think the podcast episode was just good to cover this subject, just to sort of make us all maybe think about how we act and what we're doing on there, and are we all doing the morally correct, polite thing?
Yeah.
Or is it being used for the wrong reasons at times?
Yeah, because I do think a lot of people hide behind social media, you know, these keyboard warriors that you just said, Rosie. Who would ever dream of writing sausage fingers?
Well, you want
to. Oh, God. I actually I laugh when I think about that, because it's just
ridiculous. I want to laugh, but I don't feel it's appropriate to laugh. It's just so wrong. And it's like, would you actually say that to somebody in the street?
No, of course not. But
you wouldn't.
You're always going to get trolls, like with any sort of platform, no matter what you do, like not just beauty, like you're going to get people that are like that, and just leave them to it. Like, let them just try not to. I know it's hard to say because a lot of people do take it to heart, but the best thing to do, I think, is just kind of rise above it and try not to give into it too much. It can be tempting when someone writes something horrible about your client's fingers. I think actually once, just about to say, my one of my oldest regulars, Em, someone commented on a picture of her hands before. I can't remember what they said, but because she was tagged in the picture, she obviously got the notification that someone had commented on it. And she replied back to them, like with an emoji, like with the middle finger up or something like that. So, yeah.
But can you imagine if the wrong, as a client who would have been really offended, you know, that would have really knocked their own confidence off. That could have been the wrong time, you know. You were lucky that that client got that message, and she was like good and brave enough to be like, actually, whereas, like, I can't even imagine if one of my, like, you know, elderly ladies received
what about
that.
Like, I've seen it before where somebody's posted a picture and the nails were absolutely stunning, but somebody commented on the hands. I can't remember what was said about the actual hands, but the lady had arthritis. So just because she's got arthritis, does that mean she can't have nice nails and she shouldn't be posted on Instagram?
Oh, that's horrible.
You know, and I actually, the nail tech in question replied and said, you know, this lady suffers with X, Y, and Z. And I thought, I hope that has just made you realise just how awful and upsetting your comment could have been and was. You know, and just made that person think twice, maybe.
And also, someone's paying, like, that's a treat for them, come to get their nails done.
Yeah.
And they're really happy with the nails they've had done. And then someone's commenting on it saying, like, oh, these are ugly or whatever. Like, it's just mean. Like, just don't, I don't know. Just, I think, just use social media for the good and not the bad. I think that's, you know, essentially what I'd say is just try and be nice on there and don't write horrible things about people's nails, because, yeah, you don't know who, anyone can read that if they've had it done, and they might get really upset about it. But like you said, people hide behind you know, Instagram accounts, and like I've had fake Instagram accounts write things on my pictures, and I know they're fake accounts. Like,
yeah, you do.
Yeah, but I just think, well, you've just got nothing to do, have you?
I know, it's bizarre.
Yeah,
absolutely bizarre. The lengths that people go to just, whether it's to bring down somebody or somebody's business or a competitor.
Yeah,
it's just crazy. But I just think karma is a
And also, some people are jealous people, and they'll try and, you know, they don't like seeing other people doing. Say it's, I don't know. That it might just be that they're jealous that you're doing well, or, you know, just it's not a nice thing really, but
no,
I just try not to let it bother me that much.
Yeah. I think if any listeners have taken anything away from this, I hope A, we haven't upset anybody. which I don't think we will. I think we've just spoke about everything that we've all experienced really, and all three of us agree just to be nice.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows what's around the corner, and nobody knows what people are going through, whether that's at work, in the personal life. And I just think, just be kind. I can't say it enough. I just can't, because I mean it from my heart. That.
And also, you know, just focus on what you're doing and try not to focus. I think, especially like over lockdown, you know, everyone was on their phones a lot more. And I think people felt like a lot of pressure to have content where, you know, if it's not natural, don't post anything. Like, I think who said it was one of your podcasts, I can't remember who it was now, but she said, if you've not got anything to say, don't say it. Like, don't feel like you've got to force something. Just let it come naturally, because I think you can really tell when something's forced. Do you know what I mean? It can just try and do you, and don't take any notice of what other people are doing. Yes, it's great to follow people and, you know, support other artists and in whatever industry you're in, but yeah, just focus on yourself. You know, your main priority is yourself. What's the point in spending how long looking at what other people are doing?
Yeah, like, you've got to focus on you and your business, haven't you?
And that's wasted time as well. Like, in the time that you're looking at other people and what they're doing, like, that could be time you spend on your own business and, you know, coming up with, I don't know, say if you're a nail artist, coming up with your own designs, like looking for inspiration, or you can put that time to better use instead of just looking at other people on Instagram and worrying about what they're doing.
Stay in your own lane.
Yeah. But I know that sounds like quite, because obviously I've got a big following, that kind of, I don't know if that comes across quite like contradictory, I don't know, because like, you know, when I said to you at the Navy retreat, I've got quite a lot of followers, but I don't, it's not something I'm, obviously it's nice having the platform, like it's great. I try not to focus on like a number. I think it's, people want like, I don't know, they want to hit like 5k or 10k, and that's great. It's great to set yourself a goal, and that's amazing, but I try not to have it as the be all and end all. Do you know what I mean?
You've hit that definitely on the head. Well, thank you so much, Rosa, for joining us.
No worries. Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's been great. We know how busy you are, so we really do appreciate you joining us.
No, it's a pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you've enjoyed our podcast, please leave us a review and subscribe.
We would love to connect with you on social media. You can follow us on Instagram at The Beauty Edit Podcast, or join our Facebook group, The Beauty Edit Podcast Society.
Thank you so much again, and please do look out for another episode of The Beauty Edit Podcast.